Coming up on podcast 1327, we take a look at 38 of the most exciting electric vehicles coming in 2022. Stick around, I'll tell you more. We look at the cars and vehicles we know are coming in 2022. In fact, some of them out already in some parts of the world. Which ones are going to be worth the wait? And I'll tell you which ones I think are going to meet their targets and maybe which ones could slip. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to a brand new year. Hey, 2022 is upon us. What could go wrong? Welcome to EV News Daily, 1st of January. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story so you don't have to. News show back tomorrow, but today, a special edition to kick off the brand new year. If you're still off work and maybe enjoying some time before you head back into the office or whatever you do, we have a bank holiday here on Monday as well. So another three-day weekend, which is lovely. We're having a look at what's coming in 2022. As Wired magazine put it, in a year that hits other retail sectors very hard, global sales of EVs actually increased in the first half of 2021 by 168%, with 2.65 million vehicles sold. Compared to internal combustion sales in 2020, the worldwide car market dropped 16%. But everyone wants to get their hand on an EV. The number of EVs, buses, vans and heavy trucks is expected to go from 10 million today to 145 million by just the end of the decade, according to the International Energy Agency. It's never been more important to know what's coming on the EV horizon. Now, I described 2021 just gone as the year of the mainstream EV when loads would arrive. And it's interesting, actually. Now, on New Year's Eve, I took part, as always, in the Inside EVs podcast and YouTube show with Dom and Tom and Kyle. And, of course, Inside EVs, a US website. They have editions all around the world. But it's quite. We did a similar kind of rundown for about an hour and a half, actually, of some of these cars that I'm talking about and these vehicles. But it was quite a US-centric list. As you know, it's a global podcast, this one. And so we do cater for all the different markets. Don't do China as much, but it's difficult because some cars are out in some parts of the world and not in others. So bear with me as I go through the list. Right, we'll do it in alphabetical order, because if I try and put it in any kind of importance order, it's just too contentious. So in alphabetical order, we will start with the Audi Q6 e-tron. Following up the Audi e-tron and the Audi, or the RS e-tron GT, get it the right way around, is going to be the Q6 e-tron. Now, this is going to be a really important car for Audi and for Porsche. And I'll tell you why, because it's based on the PPE platform. And that is going to be used by the Porsche Macan as well, the kind of sister slash cousin car, a bit like the Porsche Taycan and the Audi e-tron GT were as well. So this is going to be a big seller for Audi because it's that SUV shape that so many people want. And yet it's going to sit on an 800-volt architecture, super quick to charge, 20 minutes, 80%, bam, you're done, if you can find a quick enough high-powered charger to plug into. And a lot of range as well. Now, that was one of the criticisms levelled at the original Audi e-tron, was the 95-plus kilowatt-hour battery pack, but actually less range and less efficiency than some of its contemporaries, and I think Audi will have fixed it with this platform. Next on the list, the BMW i4, a very mainstream appearance car. The i4 comes in two versions, the eDrive 40 and the M50. eDrive 40, on the UK site, they've got a spec called Comfort and a spec called Tech. I'm not sure, again, if that's a worldwide differentiation, but about 335 horsepower, rear-wheel drive, 300 miles, 80 kilowatt-hour battery pack. But go for the M50, you should. It's got 536 horsepower, 0 to 60 in less than 4 seconds. Range takes a bit of a dip, maybe 250 miles, but still that's plenty for lots of people, especially when it charges so quickly on 200 kilowatt, I think, DC fast charging, pricing around $55,000. I've just spec'd one on the BMW website because, hey, why not? We can dream. I came out at 74,845, but I think I've spec'd it properly for the M50 version with 20-inch bicolor jet black double spoke alloys and the BMW brand blue metallic paint, which is about 5 grand of extras, probably. That's the car I'd have if I was in the market for this. Go for the M50. Go on. You know you want to. That's going to be a spectacular car. I know it's up against the likes of the Model 3 Performance and some people who just look at the spec sheets, and obviously the BMW fans, the Tesla fans are going to argue amongst themselves. But Tesla often wins the spec wars in a straight line. But my friend Tom Malogny flew to Germany and drove the BMW i4, and he says, yes, it's heavier than his M3. He's a big Tesla fan, a Tesla owner. Yes, it's heavier, but you can kind of feel with every switch and everything you touch with your hands or the doors that you close, everything feels just, like 10% heavier, but worth it heavier, was his point. It was like, it just feels quality. He was really impressed with that car. He also drove the iX when he was in Germany. Now, there's the iX xDrive 50. That is coming with a dual motor all-wheel drive, again a big SUV shape, over 500 horsepower on that, 0 to 60, 4.5 seconds, 300 miles of range, and again he loved it. Now, not a cheap car. You're talking like 80 grand for this, depending on how you spec it. But BMW shared a lot of the car charge curve charts, adding 90 miles of range in 10 minutes. And again, the BMW engineer is very proud of how much juice it can take and hold that amount of power and not step down, ramp down, and get a very slow charge speed. Also coming next year, the BMW iX M60. Now, while some countries don't even have the iX yet, there is a very spicy version on the way. The M60 version is bound to have, we think, uprated suspension, some carbon fiber bits pulling out some weight, probably some carbon ceramic brakes, I'd imagine, aero tweaks. Production, they say, goes into effect in March. 600 horsepower, less than 4 seconds, 0 to 60 miles an hour. That iX M60 is going to be a beast. This is on a platform that has been designed only for this car, because normally, if you look at Volkswagen, Hyundai, loads of others, they have platforms they can use across sedans, hatchbacks, small vans, people carriers, MPVs, etc. This BMW iX, it's built on that. It's completely custom. And it's probably going to be over-engineered as well. It's BMW and it's German. And it's amazing vehicle. Now, stepping down a little bit is the iX1. Now, of course, the i3 is going, and we'll come onto the i3 in a second, but the iX1 will become BMW's entry-level electric car. It does arrive in 2022, much like the X1 is at the bottom of their range. The iX1 will be the full electric version. They say it comes in two battery options, the smaller of which is 38 kilowatt-hour, which is a little tiddly-widdly-wiener. I'm not sure that that's true. Anyway, that's what I've read. The bigger battery, 74 kilowatt hours, that's more like it. That'll do a range of maybe 240 miles. Why would they put a 38 kilowatt hour pack in that car? I don't know. You get like 120 miles out of it. It's a little bit weird, a little bit strange, but maybe that's not true. Okay, moving on. From the bees to the bees, the Bollinger B1. The Bollinger B1. Is if you like your boxy, retro-looking off-road vehicles, you'll love this. It's unique. You can remove parts of the back of it to turn it from a cab truck to a fully enclosed SUV. Massive old battery underneath, 142 kilowatt hours. Somehow they still say range of 200 miles. Performance from the dual motors, 600 horsepower plus, by the way. Not particularly fast in a straight line, but this Bollinger looks like it's going to be a really rugged, possibly even working vehicle, and that is going to arrive this year, they're confident of. And from that to something completely different, the Citroën Ami. It's already out in France, and now it's going to arrive in the UK in spring. It tops out at a heady 28 miles an hour and has a shockingly large 42 miles of range. It's not even a car, it's a quadricycle, which is why 14-year-olds in France can drive it. We can't hear. And it's got a small army of fans already, but will enough people here in the UK part with the £6,000 for a two-seat city car that you can bike faster than? Expect a cargo version to follow later in the year. And in France, they do a subscription version, which is ridiculous. It's like €29 a month. That may come to the UK as well. If it did, I think it could be popular. And, look, why not? If it is that cheap to subscribe to, and maybe you've only got to do 6 months or a year or whatever, that's like no financial commitment to stick a second or third car on your driveway. And I absolutely would, by the way, if it was that cheap for a monthly rental subscription. I mean, why not? Because a trip to the shops to go and get a pint of milk. Hey, even taking my little fella to nursery and stuff like that. I mean, it would just be fun, wouldn't it? So please, Citroën, put it on subscription in the UK. I think you'd do really, really well with that. This little thing is just so unique to look at. Even things like the doors, to save costs, they designed the doors exactly the same. So one of them on one side is hinged from the front, and on the other side it's hinged from the back because it's exactly the same panel part. Again, just to shave off costs. Okay, moving on. Staying with the C's, the Coupe Reborn. This is the car you should get if you're thinking of getting a Volkswagen ID3. Because the ID3 is friendly and floppy. It's like Hugh Grant in a 1990s rom-com with a floppy centre parting. It's very lovable, the ID3. You can't help but love Hugh Grant, and you can't help but love the ID3. It's a brilliant thing. But the Coupe Reborn is a different beast. Someone's taken a pencil to it and drawn some sharp, straight lines. I saw one in person at the Extreme E event I was at recently. Check out the video on my YouTube channel. And I had a good old sniff around it. It was on Spanish plates, I think. Someone's driven it across. And it is impressive. The battery range, the finish, the chassis setup. And the infotainment system, of course, coming from that platform of being a sister car to the ID3. Maximum power is good, but I think they limit it for about 30 seconds at a time. Rear-wheel drive option would be my spec, because you could have some real fun in that. Three battery specs, much like the ID3, 45, 58, 77 kilowatt hours. Biggest battery version, 335 miles of range. That is plenty. And I just love the little gold bronze trim inside it, the blue seats. It just looks so cool. Next, moving on. We'll talk about Fisker. Now, the Fisker Ocean SUV. This is their first vehicle in this iteration of Fisker, if you like. So, this would come under my 50-50 kind of banner, if you like, though. Will it arrive this year or will it get delayed? Well, they've got funding. They've got Magna to make the thing. Actually, the company that fantastic at making small runs of interesting cars. So Magna know how to make a car. And Henrik Fisker knows how to design one that looks great. And inside, check out the 17-inch touchscreen infotainment display that rotates from landscape to portrait, depending on if you want to watch a movie or have it the other way up. As for specs, 18 minutes to get 80% charge on a high-powered charger. They promise vehicle to load as well, like the new Hyundai cars do as well. So the Fisker Ocean, tentative, has lots of fans already. I wish them all the best. And only up to the Fs, but I better take a break. Coming soon, we're talking Hummers and Hyundais and Lucids and Lotuses and Mercedes-Benz and Maseratis and Polestars and Porsches. They're all on the way. Stick around. I better hurry up. Let's talk the Ford F-150 Lightning. Arguably, if I'd done this podcast in importance order, this would have been the number one vehicle. Ford F-150 Lightning, 563 horsepower, 775 pound-feet of torque, dual motor, two battery options, over 300 miles on the extended range version, and a huge trunk. Front trunk, or should I call it the power mega frunk? Or is it the mega power frunk? I'll get it the right way round. And it's just, which is awesome, because the whole front of the vehicle lifts up. There's obviously no engine in the front. It'll tow 10,000 pounds. It's got Pro Power on board, 9.6 kilowatts of power for 11 different outlets where, you know, electronics, power tools, appliances, camping, working. Amazing thought gone into this, and the Ford F-150 has been, you know, like the best-selling vehicle for the last 40 years. To give it that name, to give it the styling, because, you know, Ford are buying millions of bits of widget A and millions of bits of widget B, and so many of those are on the Lightning version as well. Now, obviously, the oily, greasy bits of the combustion stuff doesn't, obviously, but so many bits are carried over, and that's really, really good for getting that $40,000 entry price for the Pro model. Now we'll talk about Genesis, the really interesting bit of Hyundai and Kia. Genesis is the third car to roll out on the EGMP platform, the GV60. Again, up against cars like maybe a bit of Audi e-tron, BMW iX3 and iX, depending on how you spec them, the I-Pace, the Merc EQC, VW ID5, depending on how you spec those vehicles. Genesis is a brand which will be new to many people. They are going on sale here in Europe and the UK. Cameras for mirrors work really well. Face recognition to enter the car. There's a camera on the B-pillars which scans your face. 77.4 kilowatt hour battery. Rear-wheel drive and all-wheel drive. Sub-4-second 0-60 times. Check out the YouTube channel Asian Petrolhead. He's literally just done his GV60 review, and I'm really impressed because the launch colours in that kind of lime green fluorescent, it was awful. Like, this is a premium vehicle. It's going to be more than the equivalent Hyundais and Kias. The materials are premium. The spec is more premium, like with the cameras for the wing mirrors. And the colour combo that he had in his YouTube review, amazing, brilliant. Charge a 10 grand premium over the other sister cars. I think you'll do well. Will Genesis do well in this country? I don't know. It's new to many people. Next, we'll talk about the Genesis G80. Now, when I saw this earlier this year, talked about as the electrified G80, I'll be honest, my mind kind of skipped over it, because electrified is a word that car makers use when they don't really want to say hybrid. So they say electrified because it kind of sounds like electric, right? Well, Genesis have called this the electrified G80, but it's pure electric. Just call it the G80 electric or G80E or something, because it's not electrified. It's pure electric. And so it's not a cop-out, actually. It's really interesting. Pure battery. Again, another Genesis car. Same as the G80 petrol version, which was launched 2 years ago. 300 miles, 800 volt architecture, super fast charging. All those specs that you get from that platform in a really interesting kind of big motorway highway cruiser with a load of luxury for not a lot of money. Next, talk about the GMC Hummer EV. This vehicle I thought was going to be delivered this year, even like one on New Year's Eve, last year I should say, but I'm getting used to saying this year, next year, 2022. But this will be the year of the Hummer EV. Triple motors, 1,000 horsepower, 200 kilowatt hour pack, watts to freedom mode, WTF mode, 0-60 in 3 seconds, which is daft and stupid and brilliant and bonkers, and I love it and it's ridiculous. A huge battery pack will get you 350 miles. 350 kilowatt DC fast charger will be required to get the top speed if you want to add 100 miles in 10 minutes. If you want to get one of these, I'm sure you'll never even take these things off-road in terms of the natural habitat of your average Hummer. Can't wait to see them in the wild. Hyundai are next in the list, and the IONIQ 6. Yes, the IONIQ 5 is already out. It's impressive. Maybe not out in the US. I don't think it is. I'm not actually with dealers in the US. Anyway, it's been out for like a year here. A great car. And the IONIQ 6 is going to be next. And if the concept styling is maintained, which it looks like they will do, the swoopy IONIQ 6 saloon, taking its cues from the Prophecy concept, looks like it's going to be another really compelling car. But not like the IONIQ 5, which is 80s and square and 8-bit and, you know, VHS, all of those kind of 80s cues which make the car so endearing to some people, me included, by the way. I loved spending time when I was driving that car earlier in the year. This is entirely different. This looks more like it should be a Kia 6, because the styling is so unlike the IONIQ 5. But there you go. Next, Lucid Air is a bit of a cheat on this one, because the Air Dream Edition is already on sale and in customers' driveways and has been since October, but there's only really 520 of those buyers. They're making as many cars as 520 miles of range is what it does, for $170,000. So next up, this year, we get the more affordable trim levels, the pure version. That's, for me, is where this car really starts. I put it in the list. I'm sorry, I'm cheating. It's naughty because it's already on sale, but hey, not here. Next, the Lotus Evija, the first British all-electric hypercar with a quad-motor powertrain, 2 per axle, 2,000 horsepower, and they don't even quote the 0-60 time, or at least I couldn't find it. They're talking about the 0-186 mile an hour time, and that's going to be less than 9 seconds. 5 seconds quicker than a Bugatti Chiron, by the way. 250 miles on a single charge, but this is not going to be about, all right, mate, how far can your car go? My car goes farther than your car. If you're owning a Lotus Evija, it's a track car. It's a car that's in the garage and driven once a month because it's 2 million quid. And if it's ever driven, and my goodness, it really should be. Only 130 of them will be made. And, you know, for 2 million quid, like I say, you're looking at so few people in the world that are going to be able to buy one of these. But, hey, amazing, amazing vehicle. Next, we will talk about the Rivian R1S, the seven-seat SUV, sibling to the R1T. Again, it is technically being delivered already, but they delivered it to the CEO, RJ, and the CFO. So it doesn't count. Customer deliveries of the R1S should begin this year, beginning at $70,000. Four motors, 750 horsepower, and, you know, supercar-like speeds, 0 to 60 in 3 seconds, 316 miles of range. Really looking forward to seeing these on the road, because truck culture isn't so much a thing here. It kind of is, but you don't see trucks on the road, whereas an SUV... Man, I would absolutely love to see this vehicle in person. The SUV version of the Rivian, yes, please. Next, the Maserati MC20 coming out sometime this year. Maserati supercar will have 700 horsepower, tri-motors, two on the rear, one on the front, so a rear bias of power. 0 to 60 miles an hour in 2 seconds. Do you need it? No. Do you want it? Yes. Wow, Maserati going electric. Next, Mercedes-Benz EQE is the little baby brother of the EQS. High-tech, aero equivalent of the class-leading EQS. And actually, you know what? It's got similar styling, which I know is divisive to some people on the EQS. And because the car is smaller, but it still sits on the big rims and the wheels, and it looks more in proportion, it actually looks better than the EQS. 90 kilowatt hour battery, 400 miles between charge, about £60,000. So that's a, you know, if you're speccing a Model 3 Performance or a BMW i4 M50 that I've talked about, and you're all of a sudden looking at a 60K car, the EQE is going to be really compelling for some people. Now, a Chinese car, the NIO ET5. This year, the ET5 will join the ET7 as a second sedan from NIO. But it's interesting because they're promising 1,000 kilometres of range, or 621 miles of range on the China CLTC range calculation. It's got LiDAR. It's got NIO Autonomous Driving System. That's right. We reported recently on the NADS system, or NADS. Yeah. NIO's Aquila Super Sensing, Adam Supercomputer, a very high-tech car, level 4 autonomy. Wow. If they can pull it off, just incredible. And urban and highway autonomy, parking, battery swapping, because it's a NIO as well. ET5 looking really interesting. Next, Nissan's Ariya. Oh, Nissan, we thought this car was going to arrive in 2021. What happened? We think sometime summer 2022, with the price up to £60,000, it's going to be a real ask to get people to think of that as a premium SUV with the Nissan badge on it. Now, the Nissan Leaf is the legendary EV that everybody knows. The Ariya, most certainly not a replacement to the Leaf. A very different segment. It's an SUV. It's out in the middle of the year next year. 310 miles of range, almost 400 horsepower. Up against cars like the VW ID4, GTX. Pricing starts at 42,000, but spec the one you want with the big battery, all-wheel drive. 60K, like £62,000. Holy moly, Nissan, you are asking people to really stretch to spend that much money on... You know, Nissan is not a down-market brand here, but it's a value brand. And so you're really going to want that car to spend that much money. We think it'll be very compelling. 87 kilowatt-hour battery, brilliant stuff. Next, from an expensive car to a cheap one, the Aura Cat. The Aura Cat from China will be, apart from cars like the... What else? Citroen Ami. I was going to say Dacia Spring, but the Spring isn't coming to the UK. One of the cheapest cars on the market. £25,000. entry price, 209 miles of range. So, you know, way more than like a Mazda MX-30 for less money. There's going to be a 63 kilowatt hour battery, 261 miles of range on that, charging at 80 kilowatts. The Oracat looks good. We hope it goes on sale as soon as possible and we can start to see it being driven. The Polestar 3 will come this year as well. An SUV that is Porsche Cayenne levels of pricing, like $75,000, sharing parts with the Volvo XC90, which we think is going to be called the Embla. They're getting rid of XC, you know, 40, 60, 90, etc. And they're going to names, a bit of a shame. We think it'll be called the Embla, all electric, 400 miles of range, 20 minutes to get to 80% full charge. So Volvo, Polestar, ultimately owned by Geely, really getting their head around some high-tech platform stuff here to build their cars on. Mentioned the Porsche earlier, the Macan EV, the Audi Q6 e-tron equivalent. Again, great platform. Expect sports tuning as it's a Porsche. Macan's a big seller, so of course it'll sell more than a Taycan, which is their first entry from Porsche. And it'll be a sportier drive as well than the Audi equivalent. That's how they kind of keep those two brands separate and, you know, known for their own things. Renault is next in the list. And I've had two Zoes now. Huge fan of Renault Zoes. But I've always wondered with Renault, hey, what next? Like, where's your roadmap? Well, then we found out. The Megane, very, very important car for family car buyers. The Megane E-Tech is coming this year, up against the VW ID3, 40 kilowatt hour or 60 kilowatt hour battery sizes, up to 292 miles of range. They at the launch, they talked a lot about how thin or how low, I should say, the battery pack was, and the fact that the passengers, or you sit basically no higher than a petrol version of this car because a very low profile battery pack. They're really proud of that. Can't wait to experience it, starting at about £35,000. The Tesla Cybertruck is next in the news. Yeah. When will it arrive? Some say it's weeks away from the first builds in Austin. That's if you're a Tesla diehard, convinced of everything that the rumor mills say. Others say no sign of the Cybertruck at all this year. Well, maybe it'll be split the difference somewhere between coming out of Texas, first of all. Certainly new production in terms of stainless steel production for Tesla. So very different to when they ramped the Model Y. That was a Model 3 on stilts. This is all new. And of course, all new battery. Pricing has now disappeared on the Tesla website. So yeah, good luck with the 39 grand starting price. They still say it'll tow £14,000, do 500 miles of range, do 0-60 in 3 seconds. Don't write off Tesla. Never write them off. They always deliver eventually. Equally, I wouldn't expect anything soon if I was a betting man. I don't think there's going to be many Cybertrucks this year. Maybe some staff, some early YouTube influencers or something. In case it goes wrong, they won't get any complaints. They're relying on scaling their own custom 4680 cells, which they're doing, but we just don't know how quickly they're doing it. Next, the Volkswagen ID5 is coming this year, following on from the ID3 and the ID4. This year we'll see the ID5 taking on a mid-size SUV form, around £47,000, 77 kilowatt hour battery, 320 miles and 135 kilowatt fast charging on a DC fast charger, which has recently been uprated. And also the VW ID Buzz. Oh, yes, this is the California van, the camper van. Finally the year when the Buzz is unveiled. Now, I've seen so many spy shots lately of the cars covered in camouflage. They're trying to dumb them down, making them look like transporters, putting on daft alloys that make it look terrible. Trust me, the Buzz is going to look so close to the concept car, the concept van, and I can't wait. It goes into production in the end of 2022. So look, let's face it, we're probably looking at 23 for most customer cars, but they do say it will go on sale this year. The Volvo C40 Recharge is an interesting car to look out for this year. Dual motor, all-wheel drive, XC40, you know all about. Well, the C40 is like that with a little bit less boot. More coupe crossover design. Again, similar specs, similar range, similar efficiency, which is probably where the next generation of Volvos is going to solve. Great first outing with the XC40 and the C40, but I think when we move forward a bit to the next generation stuff, like we're talking about the XC90 / the Embla, that's where I think they're going to fix some of those perhaps issues that some people had in terms of total range and efficiency of those vehicles. What about the Embla, the Volvo XC90? Fully electric, built in South Carolina, the new XC90... / Embla, we don't know. The first model that Volvo will make, which comes with eyes-off driving. They're so proud of this that Volvo have been working on. And, you know, Volvo is the byword of safety. Like, they're not going to release anything that isn't utterly safe. But they call it a very advanced cruise control system. They use LiDAR from Luminar and high autonomy levels using NVIDIA processing power. And it is hands-off, eyes-off driving. And they say they will roll it out when the regulators are ready to roll that out in various countries. It won't be at launch, though. They're looking at perhaps a couple of years away. The cars are equipped. The engineers are doing all the testing. And there's certain things, like there's a section of Autobahn, which has just been, the Mercedes-Benz EQS has been approved for level 3 autonomy, which again is hands-off, eyes-off, below 37 miles an hour or something. So in other words, if you're on the Autobahn, it's a controlled environment, traffic is slow because of a traffic jam, Mercedes-Benz EQS, now fully approved to be, hey, you can take your hands off the wheel, you can look at your phone, the car is in control. Volvo XC90 / Embla, same technology, when regulators around the world tick the box, Volvo will be ready. And we'll end this main part of the show with the XPeng G9 using their all-new 800-volt platform with silicon carbide technology. Not yet giving detailed information on the drive system or when it gets launched next year, but they are calling it XPower 3, their new high-charging power of 480 kilowatts, which is, it's just... How fast do you want to charge? I can't believe I'm even complaining. Yes, give it to me. I want it all. I want more charging speed. 480 kilowatts. That is 600 amps at 800 volts. That's going to recharge like 200 kilometers in about 5 minutes if it's at the right temperature and low state of charge. Just utterly bonkers. We love it. Come on, XPeng, get the G9 on the market. Let's all have a little play with it. Bring it to Europe. Now, I did also have a list of cars that I'm really excited about and interested in this year that may be out in some places already or may never come out. So I haven't put them in the main show. The Aptera looks interesting. That's the solar EV with 1,000 miles of range. The Arrival van should come this year. The Audi Q4 e-tron and Sportback, which is out here already, is arriving in the USA. I mentioned for my US listeners, you get that car this year. The Chevy Bolt and the EUV will once again be on sale. Not particularly new vehicles anymore. Off sale because out of production because of the battery issues being sorted. Production starts again in February and hopefully that's all behind them. The Ford Electric Transit is coming as well. That'll be a defining vehicle for Ford, because the Transit is. The Renault 5 could come this year, or maybe it'll be 2023. That is the legendary Renault 5 name and shape. Probably a replacement to the Zoe, so maybe looking at next year for this. The Tesla Model Y. Yes, you're thinking, hold on, he's got confused. No, the Model Y right-hand drive arrives this year. It's not on sale. Well, you can order one, but it should be the next few weeks. They arrive in the country from China. And here where I am, we finally get the Tesla Model Y. Hallelujah. What about the Tesla Model 2 / the Model Q? Well, we could see that this year, but it won't go on sale this year. And finally, that's my list. Thank you very much for listening today on the podcast. I hope it's a long one, but I hope you enjoyed it. Hey, what a way to start the year. I promise these podcasts will be shorter going forward. Nobody needs this much of me. Question of the week with emobilitynorway.com. Well, it returns this year, a brand new question being set tomorrow. Email me a suggestion sometime, anytime actually, and I might pick yours. Hello at evnewsdaily.com. Thanks to our premium partners of the podcast, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley from the EV Review Island YouTube channel, Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and emobilitynorway.com. Have a good one, see you tomorrow, and remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.